KazooFest 2018 is taking place April 11th to the 15th and will be bringing music and art to downtown Guelph. This year's festival features performances by Beverly Glenn Copeland, Faith Healer, Elcon, Claremont II, Doom Squad, Witch Prophet, Whoopso, and much more, as well as visual art by Kendra Yee, Ken Ogawa, Ben Grossman, JG, and more. And don't miss the Kazoo Print Expo on April 14th, as well as the Night Market on April 12th. All access crony passes are available on Ticketfly.com for $65. For more information, including venues, accessibility, and the full lineup, visit kazookazoo.ca. Don't miss Kazoo Fest 2018, April 11th to the 15th. Sound of light.
Hey there, you're listening to Eternal Rhythm on CFRU 93.3 in Guelph. This show is called Eternal Rhythm, And my name is Dave. And for the next hour, we are going to be talking about Kazoo Fest, which is coming up in Guelph from April 11th to April 15th. Going to play some music by artists who are performing there. And it is also a little bit of a special episode tonight. We're going to air an interview with Joyful Joyful, the band from Toronto, who is performing at Kazoo at the Pancake Breakfast, actually. But yeah, it was great to chat with them. They came over about a week and a half ago, and we shot the shoot for a good little while. And so a bunch of this episode is going to be some highlights from that. It was really nice to talk to them. They're really, really thoughtful people. And hopefully we can do that again sometime. So yeah, going to play. They don't have any live, they don't have any recorded material released just yet, but we have some great live audio of them too that excited to play a little bit later on in the show. But yeah, so what we just heard was Louis Mary Carl also performing at Kazoo Fest. It was her and Anthony Donovan, actually, and that was her most recent Bandcamp single called Alt to Unending Conquest, Dreams version. Excited to see her perform as well. I have to say, haven't been able to watch one of her performances yet, but yeah, excited about that. So I think without any further yakking, we'll just get into the Joyful Joyful interview. Here you go, part one.
That's awesome.
So how is recording going? Are you guys, have you been finished? Are you finished?
We're going. We just talked to the guy that we recorded with, and we had some concerns about our performances. We never really have recorded an album properly before, or you've recorded an album properly before.
Yeah,
I haven't.
Yeah,
and so we had some concerns about it, and we're feeling kind of bad about it. But then I talked to him actually at the Horseman Pass By show, and he was like, "It's gonna be fine." So we're going to, at the end of the month, we have a whole album recorded, and we are going to meet up with him and work on it some more, which is great, because we were feeling kind of shady about it.
Huh.
Yeah.
Like how many songs, how much music?
35 minutes of music, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like great.
Five songs, isn't it?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't actually know.
Okay. Yeah. Are you putting it out by yourselves, putting it up there by yourselves?
It's to be determined.
The
hope is that we will convince someone with more resources than us to invest in us, but if not, then we will put it out.
Nice.
Just has like 128 kbps mp3. That's all. Yeah, on a CD.
Yeah.
Like, not as a CD, but just MP3s on a CD.
Just the way the good Lord meant it.
Yeah.
That's super funny.
How did you guys meet?
We met in Peterborough. I'm from Peterborough, and I was going to university there, and we ended up meeting at the radio station, Trent Radio, in Peterborough. And through, we had some friends in common, but we also had, we both had noise shows at the time, and
I was live performance,
like live, yeah, live performance noise shows, and I was a fan of Dave's show
somehow.
For a long time I didn't have a radio at my house, but I was a real fan of the community radio station. So in order to listen to my favorite shows, I just went to the station and listened in the kitchen of the radio station. And so that was great, though. It meant that I met the programmers of the shows that I liked, and they would then often return the favor.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you used to come to my show too, right?
Yeah.
I think that's how we met, and then We didn't make music together for a long time after that, but we were both realized that we were into some of the same strange and wonderful things.
Sometimes I would come on your show and kind of tunelessly ruin it.
Yeah.
Not exactly, maybe, but...
I also would come on to Dave's show sometimes.
Yeah, and tunefully enhance it.
Yeah.
Just bursting in the door.
Yeah.
I'm here now.
I'm here now. Yes, through the joys of community radio is actually how we came together.
Yeah, and that was, you know, over 10 years ago now?
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Coming up on 12 years ago.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yep.
So what, like, I'm interested to talk to you guys about music, because when I listen to you guys' stuff, one of the things I just wanted, it's like a lot of questions come to mind about, like, what do these guys even listen to? Or, mm-hmm. like, so it's cool that you guys both had shows, both had radio shows. But, like, what, did either of you have an idea for, like, a sound that is similar to Joyful Joyful, like, before you started jamming? Or did you just kind of, you're just pals, so you started jamming and then it just happened kind of organically, or the sound, or, like...
In a way, I think both. Because the music that I want to make is very much the music that I'm making in Joyful Joyful, and the music that Cormac wants to make is very much the music that they're making in Joyful Joyful. Like, it's just like a direct mashup of to each of our favorite things, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what your vision was. You just told me we were making a song.
Yeah, Dave and I had actually threatened to be in a band together for years prior. We should...
More of a threat to me, I think.
Yeah, it was just like we had this idea that we were going to probably be in a band sometime, but we never got around to it. And then just one day, I had booked some time to make a video, and I was like, well, we're gonna need to write something for this. So then we got together and did that. Certainly I'd been interested in doing, my radio show had elements of what Joyful Joyful is now, but not nearly to the same extent. I built up vocal drones in my radio show, and so some of that stuff is present in Joyful Joyful, but it's actually much different and much less reliant on looping. Joyful Joyful has some looping elements in it, but a lot less. So some of those building blocks have been in place for a long time, but I agree with Dave. The kind of music that we want to be making is what's happening in Joyful Joyful, for sure.
What are you... So the name is a reference to Beeth Oven?
Yeah.
I'm assuming? Or...
Yeah.
Like, it's... your lyrics seem very... I don't know if, like, reverent is quite the right word.
I think reverent's a great word.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think it's a super word. Yeah, I think a lot of my influences and a lot of where my heart lives musically is in a lot of sacred musical traditions, and a lot of really various sacred musical traditions. Certainly a lot of Christian sacred musical traditions, because, like, that's a different kind of music than music that was made for entertainment, or music that was made... like, often it was also meant for group singing, which I have always been super into. So, yeah, I think that I like making tunes that are as heartfelt as that, and sort of come from that deep place without necessarily... Like, the tunes aren't religious, but I do think they're reverent to something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not super at this point in my life, I'm not super interested in making songs that aren't coming from that deep well, or aren't sort of reaching for those high and beautiful places. So it's just like, it's nice to be able to sort of draw from that and to make it into something different. So yeah, I think absolutely that's a place that the music comes from, and hopefully it's a place that the music sort of takes people to. It's to that kind of reverent place, and whatever people want to experience in that.
Right on. Did you did you grow up around a lot of sort of sacred music like that, or what drew it, like, what is the attraction to
Ish, yeah, traditions? My parents are, like, my parents, I didn't go to church a lot growing up. My parents are both were both raised in very kind of brutal religious ways, I think, or, like, not very strict religious ways, and they both were, like, none of that by the time they had kids. And but my grandparents were very, very devout Catholics, and when I was a teenager, I was a convert. I ended up being pretty born again for a few years when I was in a teenager in my very early 20s, and I certainly was very immersed in evangelical kind of musical tradition, so like that kind of classic hymns, as well as like kind of big stadium sort of charismatic praise and worship stuff, which was wild. But for sure, like that really influenced me musically, because again, like that, there was that group singing, right, that really, like, that touched me very deeply at the time. And I think that when I stopped being religious in those ways, the music stayed with me long and ever after that was over. And it's nice because, like, I get to keep that even though I'm not necessarily in those contexts anymore. So
you're also very curious, mm-hmm. and have explored many other sacred musical traditions that you were not directly connected to.
That's true. That's true of, like, I'm really, people often say that they hear influence around shape note singing in the music that we do, and, like, I love shape note singing, but, like, I'm not, you're right, like, that's not part of my tradition, or like, like old, like Irish traditional sacred music. It's not part of my tradition that I came up in, but I'm really interested in it. So,
is at this point any of what you guys do live improvised?
Certainly, in what I am doing, there are, our songs have structures. And beginnings and ends and middles, all the parts. But how I'm getting from here to there is always, it always varies. It's not like playing the same guitar line with the same attempting to play the same articulation every time. It's based on how the system is working with the room, because we are often playing in environments where I'm kind of combating the sound in the room through feedback and all this, so I'm always adjusting how my setup is reacting to that, and so kind of trying to get in the trying to get from part to part. I'm improvising to some extent. I don't really know what that is called, because it is the songs are fully structured, but there are no strict rules about what I'm doing, and I'm not using presets or anything. I'm just kind of adjusting everything on the fly and reacting, I guess.
Yeah, I often find that the songs come together really quickly. We'll often improvise something and then together when we're rehearsing, and then something will sort of distill, and then as we play it a number of times, things start to settle. And then sometimes we'll have these sort of special moments where, you know, we'll be performing something and, you know, the vibe of the room is really intimate, or it's, you know, or, you know, I just feel like singing really loud or something, or like just singing out. And sometimes the songs change because of how the room is too, and that changes the feel of the song. So I think that in some ways, like Dave, I'm also a bit reactive and responsive to the room as well, depending on where we're playing.
Have you guys seen the lineup for Kazoo this year?
Mm-hmm.
Any pals on the bill?
Absolutely, yeah.
Who, talk about some friends or some bands that you think are worth checking out that are there.
The person that what I'm most excited to see is Beverly Glenn Copeland, who we saw perform at Sappy Fest last summer, and I have never seen so many people, myself included, be moved so deeply by a performance. I don't think I've ever been in the presence of someone who has the presence that Beverly Glenn Copeland has. I cannot say that more strongly, or cannot say it strongly enough. I would travel, if I wasn't playing here, I would come here to see Beverly Glenn Copeland play, because they're a very, very special human being who has a capacity to reach people that I've never seen.
I have that Keyboard Fantasies record. Is that kind of what their live set is like?
When when Beverly Glenn Copeland played at Sappy Fest, they drew from a lot of different things they've played over the years. So they played some stuff from their spirituals album that they played from, and so a bunch of different things from their catalog. I don't know what they're going to play at Kazoo, but it is not to be missed for all of the reasons that Dave just said. Dave and I were sitting in different parts of the theater when Beverly Glenn Copeland was playing. Just watching people who, you know, you come into the space, you know, it's a music festival, so people have kind of got they're cool, right? They're there and they're like, yeah, you know, I want to see this, and people are chatting with each other, and then it was just interesting to watch everybody, whatever they'd come in with, and watch that kind of fall away in the presence of this very singular musician. So Guelph is really lucky to be having Beverly.
Heavy iron rings and waited patiently. And I was ready to depart.
come again to our doorstep. Knock with heavy iron rings, waited patiently.
Hello. We're back on Eternal Rhythm. Doing a kazoo fest themed show this evening. And so we just heard one there by Cindy Lee, Pat Flagel, who used to perform in the band Women based out of Calgary, playing at Kazoo Fest. And that's one from his 2015 album called Malenkost, that was recently reissued just last year. He's actually got another, his Acts of Tenderness album that came out like the same year is also being reissued, so that is sweet. His music is totally worth checking out. And before that, we heard one from Beverly Glenn Copeland called Ghost House. That song's going back to 1970, recorded in Toronto. And looking forward very much to seeing Beverly Glenn Copeland at Kazoo Fest as well. They have a lot of different kinds of recordings. Very curious to see what they will do, what they will play. So we'll get back to the Joyful interview in a moment, but first wanted to play one of their tunes. Haven't done that yet. Also haven't mentioned that their names are Cormac Culkeen and, what's the other guy's name? David Grennan. Just wanted to play one of their live tunes. This is them live performing at Sappy Fest last summer, and song's called Oh Sinner. Here is Cormac introducing the song, and then we'll go straight back into the interview. All right, you're listening to Eternal Rhythm on CFRU 93.3 FM.
Sinner is an interesting song in the set because Dave is working really hard, especially at the beginning of that song, to live capture and grab a lot of the notes that I'm singing to build that drone as it's happening. So if I sing a wrong note, it's stuck in there. And so it's a very present song in a lot of ways because it's very technically tight.
It's also the song with the most improvisation.
Yeah, it is. It is the song with the most improvisation. I wanted to create a dark world, I think. One that was a little more haunted and maybe a little more haunting. I was interested in, there's a whole like kind of strain of strange Southern gospel music that is very creepy. And if you go into like old, if you're ever like in an antiques shop and can find like old hymn books, there's so many that are really, really dark tunes. And so it's not that I was like trying to emulate that. It's just that that's kind of what I was thinking about a little bit when we were improvising that song. But I think that we just wanted to take something in the direction where we could build a world. And so it was a kind of creating a palette of sort of feelings and scapes in that. And I really, it's one of our favorite songs in the set, I think.
Thank you.
I had stolen my dad's reel-to-reel recorder and was recording different, and it was fun to play around with, and it was simple enough technology that I could use it and record my own stuff onto it, and so I would be recording strange guitar things, and then I could improvise over top of the things that I put down, and that was really fun. So by the time that I was in university, or that I moved out of my parents' house or whatever, and was introduced to more experimental stuff like noise music, and there was some local live noise groups in Peterborough who just invited me to come and like improvise along. So all these sort of strange vocalists that I was really influenced by, like Laurie Anderson was one of them, and you know, all of these people who were doing strange things with their voices, because I was always a singer. All of a sudden I had somewhere to try that stuff out live, and people who were saying, okay, like if you're into this stuff, like surely you can make it. I was like, I guess so. So that was a really neat thing. So it was kind of a supportive community to try out that stuff and to kind of come into my own. Like I played a lot of folk music, and that was a lot of the music that I was writing and performing, but I always had some kind of strange experimental thing going on the side that a few people would know about, and they'd be like, do you also I'm like, yeah I also do this. I was allowed, they just gave me free rein to do whatever I wanted at the radio station at night, and so I kind of came into my own figuring out how I was going to make strange music without anybody else's help necessarily, and so I've still got all of that stuff. And
it's incredible.
Thank you.
Yeah. So when you, what a space to, what a resource.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, the radio station.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to have, like, here's this space.
Yeah, here's this radio station. And what I ended up doing was exploiting this natural glitch sort of thing that happens at that particular radio station. You could create a loop from the board. So... what you were broadcasting, you could rebroadcast what you were broadcasting, so you could create a loop that decayed slowly over time, but you could get 17, 18 layers in it before it was gone, about like a 10, 12 second loop, it depended, and so I just got really accustomed to like working with that one glitch, and I made a radio show for like 4 years that was a drone radio show based on that. But that was the result of like a bunch of people saying, sure, go ahead and use this space in this weird way. You can do that.
Huh. A live vocal improvising.
Yeah, it was. That was what it was.
That's so good.
Wow. Would you guys ever consider adding different kinds of instrumentation into Joyful Joyful? Or do you? Or
Absolutely. I think there is a beautiful dream of strings in a choir. I think we're a ways away from that, both technically and resource-wise, but small, well, a chamber orchestra of some kind, of some description, and a choir. It could be incredible.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's music that lends itself certainly to more players and more collaboration. I really like the format of just having it be Dave and I, because it's so spare, but it's also very rich, because like Dave and I are close, and there's a dynamic that happens on stage and when we're making things as a result of that, which I like. I've never been in a duo really like that before, and that's really rich, but certainly I can hear the places where other people could be, and it's a beautiful thing to have in my head, and I think at some point we'll make that real
mm-hmm.
for other people as well.
Cool.
I think that one of the things that I like so much about performing Joyful Joyful stuff and being Joyful Joyful with others is that in order to make it happen, there's a collaboration that has to take place. It's not like, okay, we're going to play our things and like you're going to do whatever you want. We have to build that world together,
Do you mean with the audience?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I mean, so Dave and I are both vulnerable because what you see is kind of what's going on. It looks vulnerable because it is vulnerable. And because you couldn't make that kind of music, I think, and be surly.
Yeah.
It's not possible.
Yeah.
It's not actually possible to do that. And so you have to put out this sort of wild tenderness in hope that whoever is present is going to catch that and build it back with you. And that's such a wonderful thing. And it's never failed. That's never not happened.
Huh.
Which is very magical.
Yeah, other plans for this year for you guys?
A few plans. We're going to produce, we're going to try to finish this album for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But then we're also going to try to produce some music on our own that will be of lower quality. That we're going to try to produce some music on our own, just to put out through some smaller, like some friends' labels maybe, and to self-release.
Yeah.
We're going to try to have something ready for Kazoo, but that is TBS.
To be seen.
To be seen. And then a large goal for this year is to, like everyone who wants to pursue their art in a way that is not just a hole for their money, we're going to try to learn how to write a grant. It's a
big
goal.
It is a big goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fun.
Because I am happy to spend my income on this. It seems like a valuable and meaningful thing to do. But I also know there's funding out there. And to learn how to access that would be so helpful to help us maybe realize this vision of a choir and an orchestra,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, big dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm really looking forward to seeing you guys. I haven't seen you in a frig's age. I haven't seen you in like a year.
Yeah, just a week under a year. It was March 18th that we played, I think.
Really?
I believe so, at Red Papaya.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, okay.
Good institutional memory, Dave.
I think so.
Yeah.
I might be mistaken.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Well, yeah, pumped. I know a lot of folks around here pumped that you guys could come back and play Kazoo Fest as well.
Thrilled to be playing, because it turns out that our hearts are in Guelph.
Our hearts are in Guelph so hard. Oh. You know, it's been such a... Guelph has been so kind to us, actually. You know, like we've played... Most of our favorite shows have been in Guelph, and it's... Mm-hmm. Just so nice to be playing. It's actually so nice to be playing Kazoo, because, I think any opportunity that we have to play here is something that we're always pretty excited about. So
mm-hmm.
That's good.
Awesome.
Alrighty, that's the end of our interview with Joyful Joyful in anticipation of their playing at the Pancake Breakfast, which is part of Kazoo Fest, which happens from April 11th to April the 15th all around town here in Guelph. And so wanted to play... Oh, you know what? What I want to do first is thank Chelsea Cockshutt very much for passing along that live audio from Sappy Fest. Thanks, Chelsea. Yeah, other than that, we will see you next Wednesday at 8 o'clock. Eternal Rhythm shall return. If you want to know any information about this episode or past or future episodes of the show, you can check out eternalrhythmradioshow.blogspot.ca. And I do believe that is it for this evening. Gonna play one more song though by Joyful Joyful called O Jubilation, and again we're just going to let Cormac introduce the song. Big thanks to Joyful Joyful. It was a real pleasure to talk to those folks, and yeah, there you go folks, that's it for right now. Check out Kazoo Fest if you can. All right, enjoy your evening. Here's Joyful Joyful taking us out.
Oh, Jubilation is actually a very old tune relative to the rest of our set. I wrote Oh Jubilation initially as the kind of farewell tune. It was the last song I wrote for my old band, Tin Vespers, which was a big strange folk band. But it was a song that I took with me. It didn't belong to that set. I was like, this is my song that I'm sort of going to carry as a torch to light the next fire, whatever that is. And so I performed it solo for a few years. And then when Dave and I started playing together, we started singing that song fairly shortly thereafter. It's a really beautiful song to sing. I really enjoy singing that with people. And it's a song that I really wanted to see if I could sing a song about joy and about that could kind of hit on something about joy, because it's not easy to sing about joy, I don't think, without it being cheesy or without it being sort of fake or clap happy. And so I tried to make a valiant attempt, I guess. And so that's Oh Jubilation.